Amen. Good morning and welcome to Brady Lane Church. We are glad that you are here with us today as we finish up our sermon series, Where You Go, I Go, from the book of Ruth. As I was studying this week and preparing for this morning, I noted that the heart of this week's message, and really the heart of the entire book of Ruth, is the idea of faithfulness, being faithful to God and God being faithful to us. Faithfulness is not something that is proven in one lone act. It's proven over time. It's proven through actions and deeds, not just in our words. Reminds me of a story I once heard about this atheist who was finally going to take his dream trip out west. He was going to get to see all the national parks and get to see all the great things from the Grand Canyon to the geysers to all the amazing things that are in our western United States. And he was taking a walk in the woods, and he was walking along this river, and he was noting that the trees were majestic. And the river was mighty and powerful. And he noticed the animals, the birds and the squirrels and all the things running around. He just was amazed at how beautiful everything was. And just about that time, as he's walking along the river, he heard this rustling in the bushes behind him. And just as he turned around to look, there was this 7-foot-tall grizzly bear standing over him, getting ready to take a big swipe at him with his paw. Well, this guy took off and ran. He ran as fast as he could. He was running through the woods, and he looked over the shoulder, and this bear was chasing after him, and the bear was catching him. And as he was making his way, he tripped over a root that was in the ground from a tree, and he fell down, and he turned up, and he looked, and the bear was just getting ready to make his final strike. Just then, this atheist called out in a loud voice, "Oh, my God!" And at that moment, everything stopped. The bear froze in place, the sounds of the forest quieted, and this bright light shines down on the man. And this voice, this heavenly voice, says to him, "You deny my existence all this time? Teaching others that I don't exist? Giving credit to the creation of everything to some cosmic accident? You expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light and he said, "Listen, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I understand that you don't want to treat me as a Christian, but could you at least make the bear a Christian?" And God said, "Very well, I'll take care of that." And the light went out and dimmed, and as soon as that light went out, everything started moving again. And you know what? That bear dropped its paw and bowed his head and said, "Dear Lord, thank you for this food I'm about to eat." Amen. Faithfulness is not a measurement of what one says. It's a measurement of what someone does, how someone lives their whole life. We are finishing up our sermon series today from Ruth, studying chapter 4 in a sermon titled, Part of the Line. In this series, we've discussed the character and the integrity of Ruth, the Moabite widow who returned to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi, after their husbands had died in Moab. They returned with little to speak of, until God provides this opportunity when Ruth took the initiative to go to the fields and glean so that she and Naomi would have something to eat. And in that opportunity came Boaz, the close relative of Elimelech, and Naomi, and who they had hoped would redeem Ruth and her family line, along with some land that we find out in today's chapter that belongs to Naomi as well. Let's go to chapter 4. We're going to study verses 1 through 17 this morning. If you remember when we left off, Boaz was dealing with this nearer kinsman redeemer he was going to have to go talk to before he could redeem them. Chapter 4, starting in verse 1. "Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, 'Come over here, my friend, and sit down.' So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, 'Sit here.' And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, 'Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with its property. At this, the kinsman redeemer said, well, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and the transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was a method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are the witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the properties of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property so that the name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses. Then the elders and all those at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring of the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, he has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. They named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Yes, that David, King David, that we see come later in the Bible. But we'll come back to that later. Before we complete the story of Ruth in chapter 4 today, I would like to discuss the types that we find in all four chapters of the book of Ruth. Remember, a type is an Old Testament person, place, or thing that God designed to foreshadow something that's going to come in the New Testament. Or more specifically, oftentimes it's pointing toward Christ, but it also points toward other things. Types are only revealed to us because we are able to look back through the New Testament into the Old Testament to see them. Now, the types in the book of Ruth, we're going to start with first Naomi. Naomi represents Israel. In Naomi, we see some of Israel, the Israel that had a relationship with God, the Israel that had an understanding of the law and tradition and passed that law and tradition on to the next generation faithfully. In Naomi, we see teaching, interpreting the law to Ruth, for Ruth. She helps Ruth to understand the laws and the traditions of the Hebrew people and helps her to understand her place in God's kingdom. She also can be seen leading and mentoring Ruth. Naomi did a great job of mentoring and training Ruth to follow God, showed her how to live, gave her advice that helped her to succeed. And this followed many other Old Testament models, modeling and mentoring, most notably Moses to Joshua. This mentoring relationship that Naomi and Ruth had followed the model set up by God. And finally, we see, just like Israel, we find Naomi living an on-again, off-again relationship with God. Remember, in the first chapter, she's upset with God. She's blaming God for all the calamity that has fallen upon her. But then as the book rolls on, she begins praising God and lifting his name. She has this interaction with the Almighty. Now, Ruth has a foreshadowing or a type of something else altogether. Ruth represents the New Testament church, the body of Christ, the bride. She was a willing bride. Like Ruth was willing to be the bride to her kinsman redeemer, the church is to be willing to be the bride to the bridegroom, our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. She was also an available servant. God just wants the church to be available to him, to be ready to serve, to do his will, to make him famous, to be willing to love and serve people as he has called us to do. Ruth was willing to serve, and she made herself available to be used by God, to do so by taking the initiative, stepping out in faith when she needed to. She was also faithful and loyal. Ruth was going to stand by Naomi's side no matter what. She was willing to do whatever it took to take care of her mother-in-law. The church is called by God to be faithful and loyal to not only God, but each other within the walls, within the body of the church. Ruth is a clear type, a clear image of who the church is supposed to be. The final typology we see in the book of Ruth is in the form of Boaz, and Boaz obviously represents Christ. He is, first of all, the kinsman redeemer. We talked about last week that he was the kinsman redeemer for Ruth, and we see it also in chapter 4 today that he works out the details. He makes it all work out. He figures out a way to become that kinsman redeemer, to fulfill his promise to be that redeemer for Ruth and her family. We also see in Boaz that he loves the bride enough to do whatever it takes to redeem her. In the same way, Jesus was willing to do whatever it took to redeem his bride, the church, us, all of us. He loved us enough to die for us, even while we were still sinners, the book of Romans says. We also see that Boaz creates a way to be redeemed. He uses his knowledge of the land that's available, that was for sale, that could be redeemed, that belonged to Elimelech and his line. Naomi was given this land by the townspeople so that she was allowed to sell it and make some money to take care of herself and Ruth. And Boaz realizes that the kinsman who was first in line would want the land. So he also knew that, or had a feeling that, he probably wouldn't want to marry Ruth. So he carries out this plan. He gets the guy excited about the land without mentioning Ruth at the start. And then he drops this truth bomb that Ruth is also part of the package after he gets the guy to say, yeah, I'll do it. And out of selfishness, that first kinsman redeemer refuses to redeem. This guy who was into his holdings, his possessions, more than he wanted another bride or family, the main reason he didn't want Ruth with the land was that if they had any children, they would inherit that land that he had been given in that redeeming. They would get that part of the deal, so it really wouldn't be a good deal for him. It was going to end up costing him something to take on Ruth and the land. Once he realized it was going to cost him something, he bailed. Isn't that interesting? Does it sound familiar at all to you? Have you ever bailed on God when you realized the thing that he was going to ask you to do was going to cost you something? Like how we have been challenging ourselves to meet our neighbors and spend time with our neighbors over the last couple of years, but that's going to cost me some time. It's going to cost me having to get outside my comfort zone. It's going to cost me maybe some effort. It's going to cost me maybe even some money if I invite them to come to dinner and we get that close where we actually start spending time together. That's going to cost me something. Or when we've been asking people to serve in the children's ministry or in one of the other ministries, and while considering it, you realize, man, that's going to cost me another hour on Sunday. That's going to cost me to have to make sure I'm available. That's going to cost me to make sure that I keep a day open on my schedule to serve. It might cost you in preparation time. So you pass on your opportunity to take some responsibility for the family, the body here of Christ, because it's going to cost you more than it's worth. You know, even though we would like to paint ourselves in this picture of looking like and being like Ruth and Boaz, I think sometimes maybe we find ourselves being more like this kinsman redeemer who said, it's going to cost me too much. You know, I'll give you this much, God. but not more than this. Jesus predicted this after speaking to the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18, or when he was talking about the cost of discipleship in Luke 14, that many will decide not to follow him because the cost of following Jesus is great. So where have you drawn the line in the sand and said, God, I'll give you this much, but this much and no farther? Jesus has asked us to give him everything, and he's promised that if we do what he's asked us, he will give us so much back more in return. He's just waiting for us to be willing to give. Sometimes, if we are just willing to give it, he gives it right back to us. And just wants us to prove that we're willing to give it to him. He doesn't even ask for the things we were already ready to surrender to him. Sometimes, though, what he is asking for is going to be something that's hard for us to give up. Some of those things are bad things. Some of those things are good things. But he's going to ask for it. We will have to act. And our actions and deeds will reveal our faithfulness. We should be faithful to God, even when things seem gloomy, even when we have been knocked to our knees in defeat, even those times that we feel like we are abandoned by everyone and everything else in the world, we have to remember this story of Ruth. You see, even in our greatest moments of sadness and calamity, God brings us great blessings. In Ruth's story today, we see that the faithfulness that was displayed by Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, God responded by providing because of their faithfulness to him, because of the way they lived, because of the way they did things, because of how they behaved and how they responded to God in their faithfulness, their lives became very significant, even though they never saw all the results. Let me talk to you about that for a second. You see, as we finish the text today, I intentionally left out verses 18 through 22. So let's look at those real quick. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Solomon. Solomon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. And this line goes out further if you look ahead to Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 6. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. Ammon, the father of Josiah. Josiah, the father of Jeconiah. Jeconiah, the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Eliahud. Eliahud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matan. Matan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who's called the Messiah. You see, it was in Ruth's and Boaz's faithfulness that they were to be included in the long line of cast-offs and misfits and righteous and flawed and upright and downtrodden that would be blessed to end up in the part of the line of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Here's our main point this morning. We must live with an eternal mindset. With faithfulness to God, our legacy will last long, long beyond our time, beyond our lifetime. We don't have a clue how God is going to use our faithfulness. And many of us will never see the ultimate results of that legacy that goes on long after we're gone. For Ruth and Boaz, their descendants played a role in parenting Jesus Christ, the Savior, God's Son. Our influence and faithfulness may result in changed lives of people we will never meet. until we meet them in heaven. I think of the students that I've had the blessing of serving and ministering to and encouraging to go to Bible college, and many of them are in ministry, and they're ministering to people I will never meet until we get to heaven. And how awesome is that, that it just keeps going out and keeps going out, and it'll keep going out long after I'm gone. And long after you're gone. Our influence and faithfulness will change lives of people. God will be faithful to us as we are faithful to Him, and He will not let our pain and sadness go unnoticed. He will take us even as we are in our lowest moment, and all the while, in the background, He's going to be orchestrating something good out of the bad. A legacy that will last for eternity. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come before You today and we just bow our heads in reverence of You and how You continue to work for our good in the background, unseen, making all things possible, taking even our bad situations and our bad circumstances and making good things come out of them. Father, we pray that You continue to work on our behalf, that You continue to clear the way ahead of us, that You continue to help us see what that way is. Father, we are inspired by Ruth, Boaz, Naomi, how they lived their lives with noble character, always seeking to do what was right in Your eyes before everything else. Father, we thank You for that, and we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, whose name we pray in. Amen.